Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Your Owl Post for the week is freshly delivered. We're so excited to be back. I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as she is every single week, the fabulous, the wonderful, and the about-to-be mama, Drea Kaufman.
Hello! Hello.
Hello. So, how is everything going?
Everyone is cooking well. We're about done. We're about ready to be done as well, so...
The roast is almost ready.
I know. I'm so excited.
That is so cool. Well, I'm so excited for you guys. And so have you been doing anything to like prepare now that you had the baby shower and everything? Is everything ready now?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll say yes.
If you believe that, then I'll tell you it's also not very hot here in the summer. So...
I mean, do you have oceanfront property in Arizona you're trying to sell too?
Yes, actually. No, I mean, you're as ready as you can be, right? Like, she's got a place to sleep and we've got basic necessities we're going to need for her. And I think that's about all I can kind of ask for. So I think we're going to be fine. But if I say that, then I jinx myself. So,
yeah, you'll be fine.
I'm as ready as we can be.
And yeah, I mean, I think any time that you're going to change your life in this way, you can only be as ready as you can be. So,
I can tell you personally, I'm ready.
There you go.
To be done.
See, there you go. I think that's all that matters. So we're excited that you're about to be a mama. And if you would like to wish Drea well, there's a few places you can do that. You can... check us out on Twitter at Join Nerd Party, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. So feel free to tell Drea, hey, congratulations, you know, because the baby's coming soon. And in fact, you can also reach out to us at thenerdparty.com, where you can click contact and you could send us an email. So you could also contact the show that way. And, you know, if you happen to be on Apple Podcasts, great way to let people know about what you think about the show by giving a star rating and review. It helps people find us too. And you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We're all over the place. We're not just on Apple. So wherever you get those, feel free to find us there and rate us there too. So, but most people tend to get their podcasts still from Apple. And so it really does help the listenership when you give us a star rating review. And we really appreciate it. We always say thank you to you if you give us one. So, Dre, this chapter... there's something about this book and the way that it progresses, and I feel like, I don't know, I was getting this feeling when I was reading today, that there's almost like a more homey feel to that. Do you, like, even before we jump into the Bogart and the wardrobe, is that something that you kind of notice at all too? Like, it almost just feels like everything's even more comfortable now that we're in year three.
That's a good question. I feel like I do get the feeling that this one feels different. I don't know that I picked up on it feeling more like homey, but I definitely did pick up on it having like a slightly different vibe. And I couldn't really put words to it, so I'm going to think on that and let you know. Maybe at the end I'll circle back.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a different feeling to this book. And it also, and maybe for me, it's that the book feels much richer than the movie does. Like, it's got so much more going on that makes it so much deeper, especially in these two in this chapter. So maybe that's what you're feeling is like the homey feeling. And I'm just feeling like it's just kind of enriched.
Yes. Because it almost feels like, you know, the last two books have been like a good pizza dinner. And this one is starting to feel more like a rich, homemade, you know, home-cooked meal.
This is like, you know, an Italian woman brought you into her home and is making you dinner.
Yes, you know, just like making everything, you know. It's bellissimo. So, no, I... It was just something I was thinking about today as I was reading this chapter specifically. It just, like, I guess part of it is that the kids feel more comfortable with everything, you know, they're it, with everything that's happening already in the book, they're like bickering back and forth, you know, maybe it's just because they're getting older, in the series too. And I don't know, just something about it was, as you were saying, it was feeling different. And I don't know if it means that it's like more homey or whatever, but it just, I felt what I'm thinking is the book and the, even the kids and everything about it kind of feels more comfortable. Like,
yeah.
And maybe it's just because Harry's starting to feel more comfortable with the wizarding world in general. Like, you know, weird things happen, you know, all these magic classes are still happening and they're just, it feels like they're getting more, he's specifically getting more acclimated to the world that he's now a part of.
Yeah. It feels less introductory. You're jumping in more. You're being introduced to things, but not necessarily like you're not being introduced to Hogwarts anymore. You're not being introduced to like how their day goes. You kind of understand they have a schedule and this is what they do and what the common room is and what Quidditch is. Like, you're already introduced to the world and the universe. So now it feels like she can just kind of dive right in. So
yeah,
maybe it is more homey in that we're not having to be reacclimated to everything each time.
Yeah, you know, I think you're onto something. That idea of that she really hasn't spent as much time as she did in the first two books, like kind of repeating herself a little bit, and that's not a bad thing, especially when you're digging into a brand new series. You know, you kind of need that reintroduction, but it feels like she is definitely making people more comfortable by just trusting that they remember what she talked about in the first two books at this point. And this chapter is really interesting, the book in the wardrobe, because it really takes place between two different classes at school. So we are going to be in Snape's class, and then we're going to be in Lupin's class. And I thought it was really interesting because there's the dichotomy between those two classes is enormous. And like, we start in Snape's class and it's just, it starts off awful and it ends awful. The whole thing is bad because Malfoy is still, you know, milking every single part of his hurt arm from his incident with Buckbeak. And Snape doesn't get on them for arriving late. And then he's making like Harry and Ron help Malfoy with cutting, you know, the things for his potion and everything. And like, he is just digging in to the Trinity big time in this chapter. Like, Snape kind of becomes unbearable.
I'm kind of wondering if people are sick of hearing me say this yet, but I just hate Malfoy. Like, every single time, I just hate him more and more. Like, sweet Jeebus, people. Like,
yeah. Mother Francis, this kid is awful.
Yes, exactly. And he gets really more is. And more awful every time you see him. I read an interesting tweet this week from Rowling, who was like, I don't know what is with all these young girls having a thing for Malfoy. He's really a horrible person.
He absolutely is.
The actor is quite lovely and I love him, but the character is quite awful. And I'm actually quite concerned that all of these women have a thing for him because it's really not good.
Well, and what's interesting is the combination between Malfoy and Snape here.
Ugh.
To the Trinity.
Ugh.
And Neville gets caught in this too. Ugh. Is just absolutely awful. I mean, these two are the most vindictive, awful people right now in this chapter that Harry and the you know, Ron and Hermione and Neville have had to deal with. Like, it's bad.
You feel so bad for Neville. Like, so bad. You're like, he didn't do anything. Like, he's not doing any of this and you're just picking on him. But he just lays into Neville every time. Like, he's not even... Yeah, he's kind of clumsy and doofusy, but, Like, that's no reason to, like, right. bully him.
And Hermione is just being nice, too. Like, she is helping him.
She just doesn't want him to get, like, yelled at. Like, she's just like, this is painful to watch. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, Hermione has a heart, and Snape doesn't.
Yeah, Snape's a grade-A jerk.
He is. And it is kind of, and this is what's so interesting is because when we get to, you know, Lupin's class, it's going to be very different because Lupin treats everybody with this equality, which is so interesting. You know, Snape obviously has his favorites, and what's so interesting, and I think this is the thing that kind of she shows throughout the series, is that there are people who believe others to be not as good as they are because of who they are. And usually it's because of things that they can't control. You know, apparently he just hates Harry because he's Harry Potter. He doesn't like Neville because he finds him to be incompetent. And he likes Malfoy because I don't know. Like, there doesn't seem to be any reason for Snape to like Malfoy other than the fact that he's in his own house. But apparently he likes little jerks. So it's so very strange because at this moment in the series, for what we know about Snape, there's very little that we know about him other than he's a grade-A jerkosaurus.
Yeah, at this point, for me, Snape's still kind of an enigma. You don't really understand why his motivations or why he does what he does. He just kind of, like, the most you can kind of do with him is just say he's a jerk, you know? I feel like you can kind of profile Malfoy a little more and you can kind of throw mm-hmm. him in that category. He doesn't like the Weasleys because they're poor. He doesn't like Hermione because she's not a pureblood.
Right.
He doesn't like Harry because, you know, Harry, like, shunned him at the very beginning of all this and, you know, has aligned with these people he feels like are, you know, less than him. So he's just going to always make him feel bad so he doesn't succeed, right? He's the typical person who puts someone down to feel better about themselves. So for me, it's a lot easier to throw Malfoy in that category of he hates people for things that are out of their control and for things that are just completely stupid and unreasonable. Because who cares if you're poor? Who cares?
Yes, yes.
You're still
no, absolutely.
A great person and contribute a lot.
Well, and that is something that I think is quite interesting because, again, it's judging people by these things to which they can't control in a lot of ways. Like, somebody's a muggle. It can't help that. You know, it's like there's all these forms of discrimination and racism and all of that kind of stuff being kind of layered into the story. And the way that I like that Rowling really deals with this is that it's so well nuanced in the story. So she just shows you, again, Rowling is so good about showing, not telling. She shows you bad behavior and shows you the consequences of it and, like, the interactions between the characters and the way it all works out. She's not pontificating and telling you. She's just showing you. And I think
She doesn't say Malfoy's a little jerk face. I get to interpret it as Malfoy's a little jerk face because
Absolutely.
He's a little jerk face.
Yes. And I think it's just such good writing. And I really, the thing that's so fascinating here is that in all of this back and forth with Malfoy and Ron and Hermione and Harry here, Malfoy comes at Harry very interestingly about Sirius Black, and something that, like, we've seen that there's something going on with Sirius between him and Harry that Harry doesn't quite understand. And Malfoy comes at him saying, man, if it were me, man, I'd be out there. I wouldn't be here at this school sitting behind walls. I'd be hunting him down. And Harry is just like, what is this kid talking about? Like,
I feel like Ron's confused too. Like, everyone's just like, what are you talking about, dude?
Yes. And Malfoy seems to kind of have this knowledge that they don't. And he's kind of lording it over them, which is classic Malfoy. So you can either take it that he's just being a little jerk, and classic Malfoy, but I feel like, and, you know, I obviously know from the story, there is something more going on that Harry isn't aware of.
Well, and in the story, because of who Malfoy is in relation to Harry and Ron, even if Harry doesn't know, he's not going to tell Malfoy he doesn't know. You know, right. He's not going to let on that he has no idea what he's talking about. He's just going to be like, yeah, whatever, dude. You know, he's going to like roll it off his chest and later be like, do you know what he was talking about? Because I don't know what he's talking about. So it's really interesting. And it's one of those cases where like people with differing opinions and that we don't feel like are good people can still provide valuable information to us if like you can find a way to coexist, right? Like they could still help each other if Malfoy backed off just a little bit and Harry was just willing to be vulnerable a little bit more. Not that he should have to, and not that anyone should be in an abusive situation that this borderline's on, but you get kind of where I'm indicating, like, hey, if Malfoy was just this much less of a jerk, maybe Harry and Ron could figure out what's going on a little bit sooner.
Yeah. And that's unfortunately not going to happen.
Nope.
Because he is such a jerk.
He is such a jerk.
Yeah.
We title this one chapter whatever. He is such a jerk.
He is such a jerk. And it's so interesting, too, because, you know, he doesn't understand. You know, Harry is like, I don't understand what Malfoy means. Like, why would I want revenge on Black? He's done nothing to me. And
an ass, but I mean,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, this chapter is really hard. And I love that, you know, when they finally get out of the class, Snape has been awful. He's taken points away because Hermione's been helpful to Neville. Hermione does this weird thing where she's like behind them and then ahead of them and then behind them again. And the boys are like,
what?
I love Ron because it just, I can, and part of it is I can imagine Rupert Grint turning to Dana Radcliffe and being like, do you get the feeling like Hermione's not telling us something? Like, I can just imagine those two actors doing this scene and it's great. Like, it's so good. And yeah, something's going on with Hermione.
I get the impression this would be a really great one to see actually played out in film. Like, I really wish someone had not told them what was happening, got their true reaction of her like not being there and then being there and then being like, where?
Yes.
What? I feel like I would have loved that.
One of the things that's really interesting about the movies, obviously, is we never get Peeves. And I really like that as they're on their way to they get to their Defense Against the Dark Arts class with Lupin, and Lupin's like, okay, everybody put your books away. We're doing a practical lesson today. And they go to the teacher's lounge where there is a Bogart in the wardrobe that they're going to take care of. And I love that Peeves along the way is being a little jerk, just like he likes to be. And it's fantastic because Lupin, I feel like Lupin just enjoys this. He teaches the kids a spell to get rid of Peeves by throwing the gum back at him that he had stuck in one of the door locks. And I love Dean Thomas like, whoa, that was cool, sir. And like, you could just see Professor Lupin. Yes, it's awesome. Like, thank you. Like, there's something about Lupin. There's a mischievousness about him that I like, that you can kind of, you get hints at this chapter where he's kind of a fun dude, like, and he seems to be enjoying his job and actually teaching the kids something.
Well, it's nice because he, you know, it's that complete opposite. Like you said, when we first started talking about this chapter, you know, Snape's kind of a grade A jerk to everyone and it's a really unpleasant situation, even though no one did anything to him at all. You know, none of the kids provoke him at all. But then you get Lupin, who's called names and taunted by the ghosts, which everyone's surprised about because, you know, this Peeves is generally respectful for the teachers. And instead of getting angry, he just shoots a wad of gum up his nose, you know, like, And he's just like, have a good day. You know, he says Mr. Filch and all kinds of stuff. So such a parallel, but it's so much more fun. And you can see that even though that wasn't what you'd call nice, he was nice, which is not something that Snape does.
No, because they run into Snape and Snape is, you know, striding past all the kids. And he's like, well, I'd advise you not to trust Longbottom with anything unless Hermione Granger is, you know, hissing in her ear. And then he just comes back as if, you know, well, you know, actually was hoping that Neville could assist me in this first stage of my operation. Like, he's having none of it. Like, he's not really rising to the bait that he's being thrown at. You know, he's not going to get into a fight or anything. He's just going to do things his way. And what I think is fabulous about this whole thing is that you see that there is a complete difference on how to treat students in the classes here. And Lupin is willing to give anybody a chance, you know, no matter who they are.
It's even just a different way of treating students than they've ever experienced with any of their teachers, you know. Even, you know, Coral was afraid of everyone. And, I can't remember his name now from the last book.
Lockhart.
Lockhart.
He was just a joke.
Yeah, I didn't even really acknowledge that they were there unless they were fawning over him. You know, even McGonagall kind of has a different way of treating the students. She treats them very adult-like, you know, she's just very matter-of-fact with them, and you know, she's kind but firm, you know, just it's very different from the way any other teaching style we've seen, in that he just seems very, like, very interested in preparing them. Like, he really wants them to use it. He really wants them. He thinks about their education. You know, it's just, it's a very unique teaching style we haven't been exposed to, and the kids seem to really enjoy it. Well, I mean, I would enjoy it if I was one of the students, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this is a really fun lesson because, you know, he's teaching them specifically how to take care of something. You know, he's showing them that working, especially in this process, taking care of Bogart, you want to be in a group. It's better to have a group of people because that makes the magic that you're using stronger. It confuses it. And the whole lesson is just really fun. And we get to the part where Harry is going to face the Bogart. Now, the Bogart is something that is a shapeshifter. It becomes whatever you fear the most. And I really love Harry, that his first thought is Voldemort. But then something else kind of takes over in his mind, and that is that raspy, wheezing, cloaked figure that he saw, the Dementor, and that's what scares him the most.
But he doesn't have an opportunity to see this or address this, because as soon as we see, you know, as soon as we're done with Neville fighting a Snape that looks like is dressed up like his grandma, which is hilarious. And
yes,
Dean Thomas fighting a banshee, and Ron fighting a spider, and Pavati fights someone, I think.
I remember
Lavender fights someone, I think.
Yeah, so Pavati, she has a mummy that she's,
oh, that's right,
of,
that falls so, over and the head yeah. falls off.
Yeah.
After kind of through of all these ridiculous things, which sound hilarious. And it falls over right in front of Harry. Lupin steps in and, you know, an orb appears and he gets rid of it and is like, all right, guys, that's it for today. Pack up your stuff.
I love that as they're walking out, Lavender's like, I wonder why Professor Lupin's afraid of crystal balls.
Yeah, I thought that was so funny.
Yes.
Especially knowing what it is, it's funnier thinking that it's a crystal ball.
Yes.
Not to ruin it for anybody, sorry. Think about what looks like a crystal ball.
As they're walking out, Hermione's like, man, I wish I had had a turn. And Ron's like, oh, what would it have been for you? A piece of homework you only got 9 out of 10 on?
I know, that was so funny because I was like, what would it be? We don't actually know what Hermione's afraid of besides, like, disappointing teachers. Which,
yeah, I think it would have to do with her perfectionism. So, Yeah, probably. I honestly think Ron's not all that far off.
I think, you know, she's got some sort of deep-rooted fear of failure, but from like a grander standpoint than a homework standpoint. Like a fear of just becoming nothing. But I don't know what that would turn into for a Pogger, except for maybe a homeless looking Hermione, which I also don't know what you would do with. Partially maybe why we didn't get to see Hermione fight the Pogger.
Yeah, not quite as interesting.
Or JK's got some like secret up her sleeve that she's not telling. Ooh, so
that's true. I really enjoy this chapter. It's so much fun. We kind of get a day in the life with the kids and a real opportunity to kind of explore, especially with Lupin, I think, get our first taste of what he's like in the classroom, what he's like to the students. And I can't wait to see kind of that whole thing continue and really build the story. I just feel like, as you said at the beginning, this story just feels very rich, you know, and we're adding some very fantastic and I think intriguing characters to the story that I can't wait to know more about. And so I'm so excited to continue on in The Prisoner of Azkaban. But Andrea, if anybody wants to catch up with you and see how you're doing, talk about the baby, or talk about some Harry Potter, where can they find you online?
Sure. You can find me. We'll be doing Baby Watch, Countdown to Baby, on Twitter at PCF Chick, or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's COFFMAN. Although I'm just realizing now Baby Gate may be over by the time you all hear this.
That is true. So be looking for those pictures and those tweets, because Drea may have them out there right now for you to be able to check out. You could find me on Twitter, MattRushing02, and on Instagram under the same name. I'm here on the network with John Mills. I talk about Star Wars over on Aggressive Negotiations. I have a really good time with that show. Hope you'll check it out. And then, of course, on the Trek FM network, I'm doing a few shows, The Orb with Chris Jones, talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And I do the General Geek Show called The 602 Club. And we pretty much just talk about as many fandoms as we can. We really do. From Star Wars to Harry Potter to Bond to Marvel to DC to TV shows to movies. I mean, we're just trying to talk about everything. And last but not least, I'm doing a show with my friend Courtney. And that is called Cinema Stories. And we discuss films through the lens of faith. And you can find all of those wherever you get your podcasts. Well, thank you for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.